Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone you gather. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Welcome and bless you, all of you, of the beloved, called out, chosen, predestined to serve our Father. Thank you for tuning in to another Sister to Sister. I am Sister Ashley. Mother Jennifer joins me this week. So, again, to everyone scattered, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Blessings to everyone dwelling together in common unity. Hallelujah. Blessings to all the leaders, the heads, and their wives, the women. Bless you all. Bless you all. Hallelujah. It is Thursday to the world, fifth day evening, going into the sixth day preparation day for the righteous. Mother Jennifer, say something so we can hear you and get a sound check.
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Bless you. Bless you all, daughters of Zion. This is Mother Jennifer. I pray that everyone can hear me well. And yes, ma'am, what a blessing it is to dwell together in common unity. I love each and every one of my sisters that I live with. I wouldn't have it any other way at all. So I'm so thankful for this way of life that the Father has brought to us. I pray everyone is doing well. Sister Ashley, I can hear you loud and clear. Still trying to pull up the chat room, but if it's okay on your end, we can move on. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's give all praises to the Most High Yah. Can my audience say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Coming, hallelujah, and thanks to those behind me who are coming. I have a sister, Marshayla, who says, I always want to know who's with you. Tonight is Amanda, Angelica, Sister Tammy, Arnadia's missing, and Judith is here, Tanisha's here, Sakina's here, hallelujah. Hey, this is a show for each of you, literally, from sisters, for sisters, and when you make your needs known, we really do like to meet them. So as soon as Marshayla says, I enjoy hearing who's behind you, I'll throw it in here and there, and I'll let you know. It's for you, Marshayla. And when Alex wants the page numbers, we'll throw it in for Sister Alex. All praises to the Most High Yah for his instruction, for his laws, for manifesting our hearts, you know. I, Mother Jennifer, I don't think I've ever given enough credit to the Father for his established way here at the community and the people that are in my life, which this is an acknowledgement for so many people, from, you know, my sisters, my husband, chief, and my pastor. Everyone is in this acknowledgement because, you know, freely I have received, you know, and freely I'm able to give back to each of you. I am, you know, it's not a, hey, Sister Sakina, come here, please. Moments before the show, you're always bugging me. You got a show, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd I say?
No.
No. We always say no. So I'm always telling y'all the same consistency, right? And so moments before the show, we didn't have a show. So I'm just going with it. We're just going with it. Have you ever met, of course, this is for people that are out there. You ever met Deacon Bell?
Yes.
Your deacon?
Yes.
Yes. Has he ever corrected you?
Yes.
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 Yes. Have you ever heard him correct me?
Yes.
Yes. Seriously, with all pure intentions. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people will hear my voice. Thank you. That's it. Okay. I just wanted to put notice on that. They'll hear me, but they don't hear a lot from my husband or a lot about my husband. He's a quiet and gentle man. He's full of the word. So don't ever, I don't think I've ever accredited him enough openly, Mother Jennifer, for who I am, because the dynamic of speech can seem like something that I possess, but in all actuality, what I have has been given to me from the Most High and the people that are around me, with me, and in front of me. I have, you know, freedom because of Yah. I have freedom because of my husband. I have freedom because of my dynamics with my relationships and my sisters, you know. And so when you hear me speak, I want you to know that it's not me as a single operating, you know, woman. I want you to know that we really do. We are a body here. We really benefit from one another. I've gained so much. I would not be free if I wasn't a part of this ministry. I would not be obviously obedient or have salvation. I would not be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I would definitely not have a Blog Talk radio show. I wouldn't have a face or a voice that any of you would ever hear if it was not for Pastor Dow promoting this dynamic amongst us as sisters, as well as my husband pouring into me endlessly for the years that we've been married. And he has more than you'll ever know inside his mind. So I'm very thankful to serve him. Thankful to every video, every avenue that I've ever watched, that I've ever heard, you know, the word. Of course, my life of prayer, but I acknowledge my Father who has given me all these things, and all these things that I have are at your disposal as well. You can freely get them. You can pray. You can reach out. You can connect and make relationships. You can dig in to study. You know, you can dig into watching the videos, and I just acknowledge him for the dynamics of the show, for the one or the ten that it may ever reach. For every sister that I know, that I have, that I love, that I wouldn't have without the Most High, for my mothers that I have. So that's my shout out to everyone. I think that covers the entirety of the ministry, from every aged woman, every older saint that was here from the very, very beginning, that poured into me when nobody was around. you know, that labored with me and endured with me and is still enduring with me. Everyone, I love you all. Thanks for tuning in to anyone or everyone who's out there. Let's jump to you, Mother Jennifer. Share your heart.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for who he is, for every aspect of who he is, you know, for him being our advocate, our intercessor, our comforter, our savior, our father, our judge, every single aspect of who he is. I'm so grateful to know him on different levels. It's an honor to belong to him. It's an honor to know who I am because of him, to have an identity because he has given me my identity. And it's an honor to not be out in the world wondering, not knowing, living a life of rejection because I didn't know who I was. So I'm just so thankful for what he has done for me over all these years while being in the ministry and even keeping me even before coming into the knowledge of who he is and who I am. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his loving commitment towards his family, towards Israel, towards Yah, towards the man of Yah, his faithful servitude. When I see the way that he serves, Pastor, the way that he follows Pastor, it truly is amazing. And it is an honor to be able to see the example that he puts before us, that he puts before our eyes, something to truly follow, something to grasp a hold of, not just with words, not with word service at all, but with action. And finally, to Pastor Dow, the one who truly watches for our souls. Bless you, Pastor Dow, for your labor of love, even in the midst of, you know, such a stubborn people who don't understand fully what it means to be loved, who don't understand what it means to have a shepherd who watches for us and who don't understand the things that you do behind the scenes for the people of Yah. So blessings to you, blessings to your family for the continued service that they put forth, the selflessness that you all put forth. I know I can't even understand a small percentage of what you all give to this ministry and give to the Most High Yah, but I just want you to know that it does not go unnoticed. So blessings to you and to your entire family. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Thank you so much to everyone who's doing anything behind the scenes to keep the vision going. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. Hey, 54 days until trumpets, 61 days till atonement. We wear all white. It's our custom to wear all white, all the way down to your newborns. Hallelujah. It's our custom to abstain from any drink, any water, or any food. That's in 61 days, Feast of Atonement and Feast of Tabernacles in 66 days. You are invited to come if you've been here before. Hallelujah. You're just going to call us. If you haven't been here before, you're going to seek permission through Elder Becker, but it's open. The land is open September 19th as an arrival date to any of you who may come for the feast, and then the closing date will be given at a later time. So as long as you keep listening and staying tuned in, you'll know exactly how long you may need to stay, but at least you know the day you can come and the day you can take off from work and get things moving. Or just, hey, set your affairs in order, save up, get everything together to make this trip. It's a beautiful time of year, and it's a longing and a yearning that a lot of us have to come together at that time. So we like to start talking about it way in advance and giving each other a heads up. I wanna give a quick shout-out to our sisters in Australia. I got a picture from my sister. I was able to talk to her this week. I'm gonna read a little bit. Let me see. Where is it? Yeah, I'm gonna read a little bit. But let me jump back to you, Mother Jennifer. Any announcements?
I don't have any announcements. I do want to just say that, you know, what an exciting time it is for the fall feast. You know, it's like we're eagerly awaiting and anticipating the fall feast. It's a very special time, and it seems like it goes so fast, because after that is the dead season, you know, the time when We're waiting again for the spring feast, but you know, just really during the fall feast, try to really get an understanding of what the fall feasts mean. And you know, Pastor will do some teachings on it. He's done some teachings on YouTube. Make sure you go back and check those things out. It's not just us coming together and you know, fellowshipping, and it's not just about that. You know, there really is such a spiritual dynamic to all of it, and it's an awesome opportunity to be able to be invited and to partake in what Yah has put together. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. You'll often hear Pastor mention that there's a lot of PKs in the ministry, or pastor kids, pastor children, we say. So we got some emails we're going to tap into tonight, and we'll see how the show goes. We hope that it's edifying, always encouraging. And if you know us personally, we send our love to each of you. We can't say all your names, but you share the same spirit and mind as we have, and you know that so many saints come to your mind through the week. Hallelujah. So let's give thanks to the Most High Yah, because He is good and His faithful love lasts forever. In Australia, my sister Allison says, Shalom, my sister, I thank Yah for our time talking. She called me this week, and a big time difference, so it was somewhere around midnight where she was at, and she was catching me at breakfast. But she says, so good to be able to speak to you after all these times that I have called. And she has tried to call into the show previously, too. So in the future, we may hear from her. So it's nice to receive her email. And to be coming from Australia, you can definitely tell there was a different dynamic in, of course, accent and speech. But they use Aboriginal terms for their people, or for the scattered people over there. And she was in fellowship with Aboriginals. And we would say African Americans in America, all right, Hebrews, according to our faith. But she says, so much to learn and unlearn, preparing in the spirit for the flesh and for the soul. I praise Yah for Pastor, all the saints, for all that Yah is doing in and through our pastor. After finding out about the tribes and finding out about the tribe of Judah only 4 years ago, I was asking and waiting on Yah to show me about the tribe of Judah and their role in the end times. He showed me a verse I wrote in my writing book. I can't remember the verse, but it talks about Judah being the mighty horse in the front line, readying the battle. I really like that now, seeing our pastor leading. Yah, it's so good. But I praise Yah for my sister Carrie and my brother Abraham. I'm glad I found them. They're true family. They have been very patient, loving, and encouraging, standing by me because I heard Pastor. Can you imagine? And our sister Carrie and our brother Abraham have not yet been able to make it to America, but have been faithfully following and supporting Straightway for a long time now, for some years now, and now they're able to even join up with this sister, with her family, her children, and benefit them as if they've been here. And that's a good report. It really is. She says, I drove over 2,000 kilometers, traveled for 6 days. I would drive 500 and something kilometers, and then we'd sleep the night. One part we traveled on dirt roads for about 600 kilometers, and another part we got a flat tire. Me and my mom prayed. You know, they say mom, right? M-U-M. Me and my mom prayed. 38 degrees Celsius heat. Oh, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Help me. I should be teaching my students, right? Sat for 3 hours. Water was getting low. We cried out to Yeshua to help us, and help came. Hallelujah. I'd love to share all my testimony to let all listening hear my journey, my story, and let the saints know that we are here too. Can you imagine? So she traveled 6 days to get to the nearest saints. I'm 32, married going on 7 years. If we knew what we know now, we would have not gotten a marriage certificate. By listening to Pastor and Sister to Sister, I learned so much. Big ones for me submitting, like knowing my role as a wife and mother, deliverance and discipline for myself and my children. Last year, I came across the Holy Days. When I would share with my husband and my mom what I believed Yah had shown me, they might have looked at me crazy, but I kept on sharing. And coming to the understanding that not everyone will get this, that is when we get His seal and His mark. Keep His commandments, to keep the Sabbath, to have His set-apart spirit, the Ruach. And last year before finding Straightway, I heard that still small voice say, you are chosen. And she heard it 3 times. You are chosen, you are chosen. Can I call to speak to you tonight? midnight my time, she says. I'm on Marco Polo as well, my husband, and she gives her name. Beautiful picture. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you for sharing your picture. Bless your husband and your children from all of us. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For including the picture. Shout out to Australia, and that's everyone and everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're 10 minutes away or if you're that many miles and days and kilometers away from us. Bless you all. Thank you for all the prayers, offerings, and support that you give the ministry. We're here for you. This is our little two-hour time span, sometimes less, sometimes more, that we're here for you to literally be your servants and hopefully help you, to encourage you, and to get you, hey, just until one more day, Blog Talk Radio Show with Pastor and Lion's Den with our brother Daniel. So we kick off your favorite day, right, Amanda, one of them?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Okay. All right, so got Australia's email knocked out. Can we go through our, just pick a few of the pastor's children emails? We wanted to, I hear pastors say that we got a lot, but I wanted to know, right? I want to know, who are you? What do you say, and what do you got? What's your testimony? He knows more pastor children than I do, so I knew if I reached out to some sisters, we would network and find them. So show me what you got, Mother Jennifer. Read our emails.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. We got quite a few. I'll pick some, and we won't read them all, but I want to thank everybody, excuse me, so much for writing in and just sharing, you know, your background and your history and your life. So this one says, being a pastor's daughter did not seem any different from a worldly person. We overtly celebrated Christmas, encouraged by our mother, even though our father said that we would not. We were not taught how to set personal boundaries and how to refrain from breaking boundaries set by others. Our home was definitely matriarchal. My father did not really set boundaries. He did not stand up for himself. I was not taught to be a wife, and I had to learn on the job. This affects how I teach my daughters. My master keeps reminding me that I must teach them what I know and what I'm learning. I'd like to thank Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley for your labor of love. I have learned a lot. Blessings to your master's home. Shalom. Sister Ashley, you ready for the next one, or you want to say anything about
Absolutely.
That one?
Absolutely. Yes, no, thank you. Continue.
All right, next one. The sister says, before coming to Straightway, I was not attending my home church for a few years. I would only go on special occasions just to please my parents. I didn't like the all eyes on me when I didn't stand up to testify during testimony service or the little jabs my father would say from the pulpit that everyone knew he was talking about me. My master stumbled across Pastor Dow on YouTube, and we've been following him ever since. I touch and agree with my pastor's kids brothers from the Lion's Den. Everything they shared was exactly what I went through with my father. It all started with the famous question, why we do not observe the Sabbath day? I received the same Christian answers. Well, God knew we were unable to keep it in his day and this time. No one knows what day it is, and we're New Testament people now. It didn't matter what the scriptures I quoted or historical data I had. It fell off dead ears, and I haven't talked to him about it since. Coming the straight way has truly been a blessing for my master's household. We've learned more this past year than what the Christian churches taught our entire lives. We were very eager to learn more with the help from our Straightway North Carolina family. I'm so grateful for this ministry and the spirit of truth setting us free. Hallelujah. Next up, it says, I am a PK or a pastor's child, and in the world, my natural father and natural mother are both Christian parents. I'd always been a part of the church activities that took place, mainly by force. I went through the motions of being baptized because my older sister did it, and I became more involved with the functions in the Christian church because my father wanted my siblings and I to eventually take over for him. However, I never had a true foundation of why I considered myself a Christian and why I believed what I claimed to believe. I had always had these three questions echoing in my mind since I was a young child. Why do we go to church on the first day of the week instead of the seventh? What is the Most High's name? Why are we, melanated people, hated and the Jews prosperous and praised, yet the end hasn't come, plus they don't believe in Jesus? My parents could never give me straight answers. I had ignored these questions for a while in order to preserve the image of a perfect Christian child for the family till I was so vexed about how much stuff didn't make sense. The world, religion, and how history was taught to me didn't line up with the word. I knew that Yah is so real. That means the Bible is true and perfect. So something else had to be wrong. I had to cry out and beg for him to open my understanding and what I was feeling inside. When I told my parents I was going to stop going to Sunday services, my mother made a scene. And to this day, being a year into the faith and fellowshipping with the saints, she tries to guilt me back into the religion. And my father said to me, from when you were young, I knew you were different from your siblings. I know how he meant it, but it makes me happy that Yah has truly set me apart before I was born. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the final one, it says, my father wasn't necessarily a pastor, but he did go through training and receive certification to become a minister, which meant that he would preach in our pastor's absence at my old church and deliver messages at other churches for payment, of course. To those who knew me and who my father was, I was considered a PK. He came from a Catholic background, but fell away from that. And when he met my mother, he converted to Christianity. So we grew up missionary Baptists. Never in our church did we speak in tongues or talk about it. The Holy Spirit was not mentioned, and if it was, it came from a secular perspective. The hypocrisy that I continued to see over the years is what made me leave Christianity in adulthood. I just knew it took more than what they were telling me it took. But I was too passive to figure it out. My father and mother were heavily involved in the church and forced us to be as well, singing in the choir, usher, children's church, etc. Despite the involvement in the church, I still witnessed heavy passivity in the lives of people that surrounded me, which is where I learned it from. I'm appreciative of them bringing me up in the church, though, even though it was unwillingly most of the time. I would have spouts of conviction to give my life to Jesus, read the Bible, but nothing that lasted. I just believe it was Yah dealing with me back then. I vividly remember the cries for help. My father would cry out in his sleep, often at night. He would also call my mother's name and Jesus's name. The dynamic in my home growing up was not a very open one, so I did not feel comfortable to ask my dad what was going on. As I grew older, I was convinced that my father was under demonic attack those nights. I used to think that it was because he was doing the work of the Heavenly Father, and the demons did not like that. Now, I'm not so sure of that because as an adult, I came to know of some things he endured in the Catholic Church that he never dealt with correctly, as in spiritual warfare and deliverance. Nothing that the Christian Church had to offer me compelled me to develop a stable and permanent relationship with Christ. In fact, it told me that I don't even need that to enter into heaven. I just needed to know him and believe he existed, and everything else would fall into place. How deceived I was. Today, my father has left our old church, and I don't believe he professes to be a minister any longer. He has actually adopted the more modern ideology of Christianity, believing there are many ways to Christ and many ways to salvation, and that Christ will accept any of those perceived ways. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Beautiful story, testimonies. It proves true. We have pastors, children, PKs in the ministry. And, hey, thanks for sticking around to hear a true man and a true father for paying attention to the words, right, receiving the message with love, blaming not anything until you examine the truth, understanding it first, and then moving forward, hallelujah, without putting your mouth on him. Thank you so much for your email, for your time. Let's move on. Got another email. Let's go through them, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Next email I got says, shalom, and thank you for another show. I have a deliverance-related question, please. I have been told a few times now to stop being afraid to make a mistake. I'm definitely praying on this. Something I believe I'm dealing with is a spirit of perfection. I just wanted to seek any advice or counsel to overcome in this area. Bless you all. That's the first one.
Hey, will you, let's pause for a second. Well, let's hit it. What would you like to add to that? Or would you like me to deal with it first?
Yeah, you go first, and then I'll add to it, Sister Ashley.
Okay. All right. So perfection, huh, or fear of making mistakes, right? You only have it because of your pride. You only have it because of your pride. So if you begin to recognize your pride in as many areas as you're able to see, as the grace of the Most High allows you to see where your pride is manifest in your life, as you humble yourself, your fears of perfection or your fear of making mistakes, those things will disappear because you've exalted yourself higher than you should be. So you fear falling from that exaltation. You fear falling from that place that you've put yourself. So it's very humbling, you know. But at the same time, if you say, oh, I got some pride right there, and I got some right there, and I got some right there, and you start tackling it and humbling yourself, you know, one by one, small victory, then you're going to overcome your fear of messing up, your fear of making mistakes, because that's going to happen. You know, and the more that you try to protect yourself from it happening, is the more control that you're going to have on your environment, the more control you're going to manifest, you know, and the more control that you're going to radiate, right? So you don't want to radiate control because of your fear. You want to radiate humility and lowliness. So you just start tapping away at your pride, and you'll get there, my sister, my Jennifer.
I wanted to just say that, you know, growth occurs with mistakes. When you make a mistake, that is how you're able to actually grow, because you actually learn. Mistakes are going to be made. It's not a failure if you make a mistake. So if you're looking at a mistake as a failure, then that's something in your mindset that actually needs to be changed. Instead, you need to thank the Father. Thank the Father for teaching you and for allowing you the opportunity to be able to learn more and to grow more in that particular area. And then just move on. You know, don't dwell on it. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Just move on. Like Elder Rufus always says, move on. We got work to do. So just don't stay stuck in that spot. Sister Ashley?
Very well said. Move on. You have another email?
Yes, ma'am. I got one more. This one says, shalom, and thank you for another show. Oh, wait, I think I read that one. Sorry. It says, shalom. You recently mentioned that some physical ailments are most likely associated with evil spirits. My mother almost died during my childbirth, and I've had numerous near-death and traumatic experiences. To date, I've had two major surgeries, lower back in 2010 and a hip replacement, and I live daily with chronic back pain. How do I determine what spirits to go after? Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right. Please, if I could grab the attention of the audience and everyone who is attentively listening tonight, Mother Jennifer, read the email one more time.
Yes, ma'am. It says, you recently mentioned that some physical ailments are most likely associated with evil spirits. My mother almost died during my childbirth, and I have had numerous near-death and traumatic experiences. To date, I've had two major surgeries, lower back surgery and hip replacement surgery, and I live daily with chronic back pain. How do I determine what spirits to go after?
Hallelujah. All right. The reason I grabbed, or hopefully grabbed, the attention of anyone who is listening is because if this sister had connected to you, what would you tell her? Would you have something for her? That's why I grabbed your attention. Because I want you to be able to gain something out of it. You know, if you're not the person in the circumstance, you want to be the person that's gaining something for someone who comes to you. So she says, we've mentioned physical ailments are attached to evil spirits. Absolutely. She mentioned the spirit of death that may have been upon her mother at childbirth or her childbirth. She mentioned the traumas she's been through, the surgery, the lower back, the hip surgery she's had, right? And so because I'm not there or Mother Jennifer's not there or someone who is helping you along your deliverance journey, I can't tell you exactly what to go after. Okay, maybe you can go after spirit of death. Maybe it'll manifest. Maybe, and most definitely, you have a spirit of trauma, okay, from the injuries and the surgeries, from any car accidents, from any head traumas, you know, any childhood abuse, you know, trauma is probably there. So that is one great direction for you, right? But I'm going to take us a different thought, Jennifer. I'm going to open up a completely different way of thinking to make this email benefit everyone. We all, let's say there's 100 of us listening. We have a list of things that has happened to us. We have a list of stories that has happened to our ancestors before us, or we have a list of blanks that we don't know our ancestors before us. But either way, we all have our own story of what we've been through, why the body hurts or why it doesn't hurt. We all have the potential to develop a victim mind. So my direction for you would be focusing on changing your mind and changing your testimony. You get answers that way. So let's think about the victim mentality. It is an acquired personality trait. It is something that you receive and take upon yourself. This is not, you know, just for this sister, whoever she may be. This is for anyone listening. So it's an acquired personality trait. And how we as a generation have acquired, this is a personal opinion, how we've acquired the victim mentality is by continually hearing everyone else's victim stories. So then you acquire it, you attain it, and then you have it, and then you hold it, then it's yours, now you manifest it. So a person tends to recognize or consider themselves a victim of negative actions, things that have happened. You heard her list, this is horrible, right? Your mom almost dies, you have these traumas, these surgeries, these pains. This is by no means, when I speak on victim mentality, by no means taking away the compassion that I wish I could share with you or show you if you were with me. But let's say no one is there to show you compassion, to help you, to answer anything for you, to serve you, right, which is why you're reaching out. So let's change our mind. Let's get a strength in our minds because the behavior of the victim is what causes the signs that don't reflect the Most High. Yeah. You know, Mother Jennifer, any thoughts so far?
You know, Sister Ashley, it reminds me of, remember a pastor had a message called Loving the New You, and he talked about how it's so easy to focus on the old person, the old woman, you know, so easy to focus on who that woman was. And daily you revisit those thoughts of, you know, why you are the way you are, why you ended up the way that you did, why your life was the way that it was. But Pastor talked about investing in the new woman, investing in the new you, and really thanking the Father for where he has us now, to really get you to the point of loving the new you. It's all about really having a balance. I don't want to discount, you know, the fact that we have to look into our past so we can understand, you know, the root of things, but we also have to have a balance as well. Sister Ashley?
Yes, people who suffer from this victim mind will actually complain about the bad things that have happened in their life. And the repetitious complaining or the repetitious pattern of always saying what has happened to you will continually control you, and it'll control the way events unfold in front of you, right? Because it's by your speech. And so you don't feel a sense of responsibility for what you've been through. You feel more like life is giving you lemonade, Lemons, right? Lemons? That was what they said. Sorry.
Yeah,
and so you have trouble coping with problems in your life, and you feel completely powerless, and you feel stuck in life. You know what? Hey, I opened this up early before the show. I didn't even know we were going here, right? Psalms 119 in the Common English Version. Let's peer into, step out of the email for a minute, peer into the lives of those that were written about in our word, our family, our ancestors, our people. David said in verse 25, my life is stuck in the dirt. But look what he turns around and says, make me live again according to your promise. I confess my ways and you answered me, so teach me your statutes. In Psalms 118, I'm just keeping the Bible open in one spot. I'm not even going to flip. I'm just going to jump around at some verses and go, okay, this is the mind that we're going to get, because this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And you say it over and over again, and you want everybody to know that it happened to you, so it still hurts. And see, the new you that Mother Jennifer's talking about is the one that don't have lower back pain and the one that doesn't have hurt and pain in her hip. But because you are where you are with, you know, of course, the demonic oppression and the things that you carry and the weights and the burdens, right? It's still manifesting. So you want to pour time into this new you, and you want to walk in her newness. David said in Psalms 118, verse 5, in tight circumstances, I cried out to the Most High, and he answered me. That Yah is for me, I won't be afraid. So we have to change our speech. It makes me think of, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Right? You tell the truth, you be hated. You come to the Most High, and for a few months, maybe even a year, it's all beauty. Right? You got His favor. You got joy for the first time. You found the people you've been looking for, the man of Yah that's ministering to your spirit for the first time in your life. And then you got this baggage. And the baggage starts to weigh on you. And the pain and the physical ailments and the evil spirits and all that, now you got to deal with it and handle it. If you think about our people, Mother Jennifer, they were all victims, if I can use that word.
Yeah.
You know, Esther was a victim. Dropped off where she, right, I'm going to talk like an American, right, dropped off where she didn't want to go. Stuck with a man she didn't know. I'm making it a real, I'm adding salt to it because you know she didn't have that heart, right? And then having to turn around and ask everyone to please pray with her, fast with her, so that the lives of Israelites would be spared. This is very destitute, you know, very, very serious circumstance, not a fairy tale. And Joseph, who had nobody but the father, no man, no one, I mean, nobody, destitute, alone. You know, let Joseph, can you call in, you know, give us your victim story, Joseph. Silence the crowd, right? And Moshe, what about Moshe? Like, Christians tout everything wonderful about him, but what about the men by the hundreds who slayed him behind his back and betrayed him and lied on him? And when you get accused falsely time and time and time again, your love is challenged on such a great level. You have to continually manifest more love to pour it out onto someone new, someone else, someone in hopes that they won't do the same to you, you know? So Moshe definitely fell prey as a victim, or Daniel stuck in such a circumstance that he has opposition on every side. You know, read about his story and what happened to him. You know, over here, I'm just using this email again. It's a very good example. Over here, it's just, hey, trauma, you know, surgery, hip surgery. You know, what Paul say, in perils, right, shipwreck, we all got these circumstances, but we have to have the survivor mentality, the frame of mind that promotes self-seeking Yah. You know, a person's ability to overcome a traumatic event and not carry it. The great people that are in this ministry, though few they are, like, okay, let's go Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, Elder Becker, Elder Mitch, Elder Donnie, Elder Rufus, Deacon Miguel, Deacon Gorman, Deacon Bell, Chief, my Chief, you know, Brother Daniel, Brother Kabir, Brother Will. I just throw the names out that we're all aware of, right? They got a rap sheet. They got a story. They got to what has been done to them, you know. They being our leaders, have this long, you know, this was the physical ailment, or this was the evil spirit at one time I was bound by, or this was the brother that, you know, came against me, and this was the woman that lied, and this was the phone call that, you know. I mean, no one is spared from this. Thinking about Mother Jennifer, some of the even the words that are used in our scriptures, things like lewd persons, those that were never good, thinking to escape the justice of the Most High Yah that sees all things and hates evil, but nowhere to hide, you know, beguiling men with falsehood and deceit, having cunning works, destructive, destitute of friends, right? And you think about these things that were written, but when you own it and you say, hey, Jennifer, she got a story? Y'all ain't never heard her come on here and talk like a victim, you know? Never has she come on with any form of, this has happened to me, I want everyone to know it. And we have that pattern, Mother Jennifer, I'm going to jump back to you, but we have that pattern in the generation before us, and maybe their moms were that way to them, but the generation before us wants our attention so that we can all walk around with why my leg still hurts and why my head still hurts and you still owe me $20, you know, and the moving on and the survivor mentality that says I'm going to prevail over all of life's challenges. And I'm not going to be held back and defined by anyone else around me. That is, like, scarce. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say that it is so easy for the devil to convince women to be so absorbed by what we have going on ourselves because, you know, women are very emotional. So it can be so easy for him to convince you to be absorbed within yourself, to be absorbed by what you have going on, to become so self-absorbed that you can't even focus on anybody else, that you can't take yourself out of what you've got going on and focus on somebody else's needs. you can't even focus on, you know, the goodness of Yah has actually brought you to this place of truth, this place of freedom. And we have to really see the freedom that he's brought us to so that we can be grateful, we can be thankful. Somebody has to be able to encourage those who are going through the same experiences that you've gone through. And you're not going to be able to encourage somebody else if you're continually speaking as a victim. You know, you have to speak as an overcomer. You have to know that you're not defeated. You know, Yah has not called you to be defeated at all. He said that you're more than an overcomer. And sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves and understand that. You know, we can't wait for somebody else to do it. So, again, somebody has to encourage those who are coming along and going through the same pain that you've experienced. Somebody has to be mature enough to love Yah no matter what. You know, oftentimes I always tell women who are dealing with offenses, you know, something that was done, and sometimes women are waiting for an apology. They're waiting for an I'm sorry. And, you know, that's one of the worst places to be because you will wait forever and ever, and Yah will make sure that you don't get that apology just because that is a condition that you've placed on forgiving someone. You know, forgiveness does not have conditions at all. So we have to be in a place where we're just going to make up our mind to be mature and to love Yah no matter what. And whatever he is convicting you to do through his word, you just have to do it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I enjoy the dialogue. I think living this way, I know living this way has taught me every life lesson up until this point that I've gotten, and one of the life lessons is how needed every person is. So if I said to you how needed I am, you might hear it wrong because everybody is replaceable, right? So I don't mean it like that. I had to go that way on purpose because if I say I found where I'm needed here, that just simply means I need to do my stewardships and my responsibilities here, or someone else would have to. I need Amanda to do your best job taking care of Granny. I need Sakina to do her best with the ice. They need me to do what I'm doing, you know? And when you live and dwell this way, the selfishness that says, you do it, you know? You do it. Somebody else dropped it and broke it. I don't got to do it. You do it. You know, I did it last time. I don't want to do it because she asked. I ain't going to help her. I'll help her. You don't see the need? Did you focus on anyone else's needs this week at all? See, the reason I went this way is because my Jennifer said absorbed. And I remember being absorbed. And I would challenge myself to make myself think on someone else at all times. What about your child, for example, right? Your pastor says your life is over when you have your first child. And that's the truth. Your child crying, you're automatically frustrated. Wait a second. You're needed. And the moment that you're needed, your husband needs you. The moment he needs water, the moment he needs your body, we show an attitude and we can't give of ourselves because we're too absorbed. And then that's when we get that testimony that says, man, I went through this and this and this and my mama and my daddy and this and we got this. Man, move that shit out of the way. And I definitely don't mean any disrespect to this email because I would help her face to face with much love and compassion. I would go after whatever evil spirit was there, you know, so there's that dynamic too. But how I have to, you know, try to coach us to have a blameless mind. You know, the word talks about being without blame. So if you look upon yourself and you mirror yourself and you say, how can I get that way? You know, how can I be without blame? It's definitely not because you haven't been through something. You know, to be without blame is no matter what's done to you. See, who shall also confirm unto you unto the end that you may be blameless unto the day of our Messiah Jesus Christ, Paul said. That you will be blameless and harmless, the sons or the daughters of the Most High, without rebuke, that you would be blameless. That you would have, you know, hey, the bishop had to be blameless. He had to be vigilant and sober and good behavior. You know, our behaviors, our limitations are within that word. But this generation before us has really carried what's been done to them. And then we share that. And we say, oh, okay, well, I'll just make it my acquired personality trait too. You know, when you're supposed to be diligent, that you'll be found in peace without spot and without blame. Remember, how are we without blame? No matter what's done unto you, you are to act blameless. And that's a hard one right there, Mother Jennifer. Help me out.
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about needing your sisters. And you know, as women, there are so many excuses that women make to not really get close to another sister or to not love another sister. You know, the excuses are, well, we just don't have much in common. We don't really gel together very well. Or we don't just, you know, there's always some type of excuse to not get close to a sister. And so we end up thinking that we don't need a sister. I don't need her. And I'm telling you right now, with that type of mindset, the Father will make sure that you are in a situation where you're going to need that sister. You're going to be humbled so much that you will understand and know that you need that sister. Nobody else is going to be able to help you except for that particular sister. Just so you can see how much you need her. Just so you can see how much you need each other. So that is what I've learned, you know, all my years in community, all my years here in the faith, I have learned that. And I've stopped really discounting the value of my sisters because each one is valuable. I need each and every one of them. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Wisdom. Wisdom of Solomon is chapter 2, so you just write it down if you want to for later. You don't got to flip there, but it says that he always opposes our actions. I'm going to go to verse 12, and I'm kind of going to skip around a little bit down to 23, but he always opposes our actions, and he blames us because we have failed to keep the law. He condemns us for turning our backs on our upbringing. He boasts of his knowledge of the Most High, and he calls himself the Lord's servant. He exposes our secret plans. I'm going to jump down. Verse 21 says, this is how the ungodly have reasoned, and they were very mistaken. See, when I hear Mother Jennifer, I think about the ungodly behavior. Their malice completely blinds them. When you got malice and ill will towards another woman, it completely blinds you to yourself, completely. It says they didn't know of the Most High's secret plan. They didn't hope for the reward that holiness brings. They didn't consider the prize that they would win if they kept their whole beings free from stain. Wouldn't that be blameless? That you would have blameless conversation and receive the reward that holiness brings? It says that the Most High created humans to live forever, but he made them as a perfect representation of his own unique identity. And death entered the universe by the devil's envy. And those who belong to the devil's party experience death. Envy is a good word to bring up. Jennifer, your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, you know, it's like we started with the email, and it's like we're going through a rabbit hole, but it's all tied together. Yes, envy. Envy is such a way to divide and to separate. And envy occurs when you don't understand. You as a woman, you do not understand your value. And when you look at another woman who in an area is more successful than you, instead of admiring that area and really wanting to learn from her, you envy her, you despise her, you hate her, because you haven't learned your value. You haven't learned who you are. It's because of insecurity that has never been dealt with. You become envious and jealous, and that is something that will definitely separate women. Sister Ashley?
Very well said. So I go from, we go from the victim mentality, right? Then we go to self-absorbed. Then we jump to being without blame. And let's bring up self-pity for a moment, because self-pity is actually a natural dynamic to the human spirit. And the human spirit seeks self-pity. So you have to train yourself for when you don't get it, right? Slaves didn't get it. You ain't getting it, right? Maybe you're still looking around wanting somebody to acknowledge what you got going on or to acknowledge what you've been through when you really need to fill the void with the Most High. And so if you want to fill the void with the Most High, what word can I say at this point in the show? And I would say favor. You really, really are seeking the favor of the Most High. Yeah. For the Most High was with Joseph. Remember, we brought him up through everything. He lived as a man in the flesh with much occurring that could never be written or was not written for us to read. The pain, the sorrow, the tears, the affliction, the joy, you know, all of it. It's not before us to read. Just like, who's writing your story other than heaven? It says that the Most High showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And that's what you want. You want to be able to identify the Most High's favor in your life regardless of your hurt or your pain, your affliction, your ailment, your demonic oppression, your spirit. You know what I mean? You're waging war against the enemy. You're leaving the way that you used to think, trying to think another way. You want to see the Most High's favor. He said, I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That even the Egyptians would see the favor that was on Israel, that it would come to pass, that when you go, you will not go empty. I would be very empty as an Israelite if I always had the same testimony of what happened to me and what my body hurts. I'd be pretty empty, right? So we gotta change it. We gotta change it. I'm gonna jump back over to my Psalms. What I say in the very beginning, Psalms 118, give thanks unto the Most High because He's good, because His faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say, the Most High's faithful love lasts forever. Let the house of Aaron say, the Most High's faithful love lasts forever. Let those who honor the Most High say that His faithful love lasts forever. Psalms 19, those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Most High's instruction are truly happy. Right? And we won't get off into happiness because that's sensual at times too. But what about the victim? Think about the woman, Mother Jennifer, who was in the Word in Deuteronomy. When a man takes a wife, marries her, it comes to pass that she finds no favor in his eyes. Right? Because he found some uncleanness in her, the issues with her, right? So he lets her go, writes her a bill of divorcement, gives it to her hand, sends her out of the house. We have that in our law. That can happen. Okay, so now what? You can hear her story if she was an American, right? You know, what he did and what he said and what I did and this happened to me and I'm hurt and, look at Eileen, right? She make a blog for all the world to see what her millionaire husband, ex-husband, once did to her. And now he's walking blamelessly, right? He never did those things. Anyway, I'm just meaning in general. You see how the woman's mind will go in this generation. I'm like, you see the curses? And the curses say that a nation of fierce countenance would come and not regard the person of old or show favor to the young. They didn't show any favor at all. So what did our people or your people, melanated people, do when no favor was shown to them through the fierce countenance of the nation that was over them, that was oppressing them? What did they do? Please tell me there was at least one that still had the favor of the Most High Yah, that no matter how many stripes or how many sunrises or how many plucks of cotton or what kind of story their flesh had, they still kept that favor that the Most High gave them. Samuel had it. David had it. The righteous had it. They didn't play victim. Or maybe some did. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, there's two sides to every story, and you really have to be careful when you're listening to someone's story, when you're listening to their testimony. If someone has just received a judgment from Yah, you know, they've just been through judgment, you have to really be careful listening to a one-sided story, because you could find yourself in a situation where you're listening to something from that person's particular point of view. You don't have the whole story, but they're going to paint the picture just so that you can pity what they've been through. You know, they're going to paint the picture as if they're the victim. And so you want to really make sure that you are careful just from listening to anything that doesn't even involve you. And when you're you as a person, when you're entitled or you believe that you're entitled for someone to show you pity, or you think you're entitled to self-pity, you think you're entitled to attention, you think you're entitled for someone to acknowledge your hurt, the Father is going to put you in a position where you will not receive it, because it's unrighteous. Now, there are things that have happened to many of us early on in our walk, early on in our lives, where we were victims, things happened. But what we're saying is that you don't have to remain a victim. So I pray everyone is hearing the balance of what we're saying. Sister Ashley?
Thank you for always bringing the balance. Most definitely, we could all give our stories, and there is a time that you have to. There's a time that you need to open up, that you need to share with someone, you know, confess your faults one to another so that you be healed, you know, seek the elders for healing, confessing things before the Father, ways of transgression and iniquity in you, the things you carry. So most definitely you need to have a good balance, but to have a mind that, you know, holds on to the promises of the Most High and really longs for His favor definitely needs to come out of any deceit. Favor is deceitful, right? But not the favor of the Most High. So favor with men Yeah. That's, what is that going to do you but in this life? You know, it says many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from the Most High Yah. And favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. So everything's a balance, but I think I had went through a very severe trauma to my body. It affected my mind. My mind was not the same. Obviously, my body wasn't the same. I was paralyzed on my right side from my right hip down to my toes. I was paralyzed on my left thigh. I had some legit circumstances that had befallen me, and I wanted some help overcoming a certain circumstance, and I sought the Father, and I heard this still small voice say, "You want pity?" And it was mountain moving for me, because if you can find out as a woman that you just want pity, you can move things out of the way on your own, not expecting someone else to move it. Meaning, if I share this, if I share what has happened to me and the pain I've been through and all that I've carried my whole life, if I share it, maybe that person will hold it with me, right? Help me along the way, coach me through, or even in this walk, maybe they'll help me with deliverance. But then what happens when they don't hold it with you? They don't move that mountain with you. It's still your story. It's still what you went through. You know, it affects how you face your next day. And even we know what happened to Job, but he still said that the Father granted him life and favor, and that his visitation preserved his spirit. He can still glorify the Most High Yah. And of course, hey, the Most High Yah's anger endures for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. See, I want to have the favor of the Most High Yah. I don't need the favor of 1,000 women listening to the show. And that's no personal attack, because I love my sisters, and my heart, just like your heart, does want to be loved and accepted. But I cannot, nor can you, seek man's favor or woman's favor above the Father's favor and continually repeat your stories as a victim, never changing your mindset. Right? David said, "By your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. And though you hid your face and I was troubled, I'm shouting for joy. I'm still glad." And, you know, we can hear this. You can hear me even say it. But I used to, no joke, pastor would say certain things. He would read off certain psalms and stuff in my early years, my late 20s. I'd be like, man, I don't think like that. That's the kind of hearing we should have. Like you hear, oh, man, Almighty God, that he turned my sorrow into joy. Hallelujah. But you ain't feeling it. You got to be honest with yourself. Man, we supposed to rejoice when others rejoice. But you ain't rejoicing. You come before the presence of the Most High, you're supposed to be singing, right? But you ain't singing. You think about last week, yesterday, what happened to you, you're self-absorbed, right? You got to be on guard of that nature in order to make any lifelong changes about yourself. My Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, it really is an honor to have a head, a husband who does not baby. You know, he does not baby me at all. And this is why I've been taught to not have a victim mentality. Because for number one, you know, from day one in our marriage, he has taught me about being an overcomer, how an overcomer thinks, how an overcomer speaks. And he just won't listen to talk that sounds defeated. You know, now, if I get to a place where I need some help, I need to be encouraged, then I will get that. But I'm not babied at all. And I'm so happy that I have a head who has shaped me and is continuing to shape me into the woman that I am today. He encourages me to have a relationship with the Father. You know, if I go to him with questions, sometimes he has answers. Sometimes he will steer me right back to the Father and he'll seek the Father with me. But, you know, it really boils down to having your own personal relationship with Yah. Not saying that you're not going to receive guidance from, you know, if you're married, from your husband. Not saying that you won't receive guidance from a leader in the ministry. But what it boils down to is you still have to have your own personal relationship with Yah. Sister Ashley.
Good point to bring out, Mother Jennifer, because a lot of women do believe that once you get married, you will have someone to coach you along your emotional way. And depending on your husband, maybe he does. Mine doesn't, hasn't. You know, I couldn't be here. My Muncie always says, you cannot do what you do, say what you say, and be what you are without a very strong husband. And it's the truth. Doesn't matter how he's seen or if he's never heard, right? He is a very strong man, and she's testifying of hers because he doesn't, you know, he's not. They're not going to tolerate the emotions. What I mean is, let's say any emotional circumstance happens to you as a woman or anything comes along your way that maybe you don't have answers for. I want to bring up another point, which is banking off of someone else's anointing, pulling off the coattails of someone else's anointing. I want to tie this in. Okay, so a circumstance comes up, whatever it is, right? Let's test your resilience. Let's test your mental fortitude. Let's test your emotional strength. Let's test your survival mentality. Endure it alone. Overcome it alone. And not have to go running and seeking every single person to help you with your emotions and to sort you through. Okay? So since I presented that, now let's judge where you're at. The moment something happens, what do? You share, you ask, you run tail, you got to call somebody, you got to type it in, we got to make a selfie, we got to share on our social media how we feel, we got to, you know, bang a emoji button. This is how I feel today, you know what I mean? So to have a survivor mentality, the overcoming mentality, to rely completely upon the Father and no one else's anointing means that your husband's going to say, I'm not going to help you. Maybe he'll give you something to go on, you know. Maybe he'll see the gratefulness of your heart or the sincerity of your heart, and give you a verse, give you a speech, but maybe he won't. And if you're seeking a man for that purpose to guide you through your emotions, it's not supposed to happen. I'm going to say it like that. It's not supposed to happen. He knows when or when not to help you. He knows when or when not to be there for you, support you or not, or pull his hand back so that you'll get your stripes, that you'll grow on your own, right? As Elder Rufus says, she, you know, Mother Jennifer's a sister. Before, she's a woman to me. She's a sister, a soul that belongs to the Most High Yah. So, you know, if you need help and you want help, man, you're always going to be provoked to seek the Father, whether married or not, you know? So if you were to take even your own husband, who maybe he pours, like Mother Jennifer just said, you know, I'm glad I don't have a husband who babies me. Maybe you do. You don't understand how detrimental it is, right? Because when it comes time, if ever there's a time that you'd be so broken by the Father, because he's the potter, you're the clay, there ever become a time where you're so broken and you don't have his direction, his answer, his verses, right? If you don't have that, what are you going to do? You're going to lose your mind? You're going to lose your faith? Lose your testimony? You know, so it's important to gain the foundation early on and establish your love for the Father as you're, you know, waiting marriage, because if he's a righteous man, he's going to be a strong force in your life. He's not going to baby you. I got some questions, Mother Jennifer. Let's go through them real quick from the audience. I like them to just write down stuff, whether it's a legit question from their heart or just something that comes up in their spirit. Number one, it says, how do you know if you have a victim mentality? And she wrote this early on, so it might have already been covered. But it's basically how you cope with your problems, how you actually may feel stuck or not, how you progress forward or not, how long you dwell on something that happened, you know. Majority of women, without retraining of your mind, majority of women are going to live in the past for their whole life. You know, it's the effects of sin and that weakened nature. So you have to retrain. You know, I was telling my young sister, my little sister Tammy, you know, even this week, it's when something is not happening that you train your mind for when it happens. You can't just, you know, respond emotionally during occurrences and never meditate on those circumstances when it's not going on. So how would you have done it and done it differently? How would you think now that all the emotions are gone? You know, I do the same thing for the deacon's boys, for the children, okay? They respond emotionally for whatever the case may be. Is that the best time to give them a life lesson? Or is it when all the emotions are gone? Let's talk about this. You know, what would you have done different? How would you have acted different? What did you do wrong? Right? Because that's the training of the mind for us too. Training your mind when nothing's happening. So when something occurs, you have that strength of the Most High Yah. Mother Jennifer?
And Sister Ashley, when something is not happening, are you going to remain in a posture of being grateful to the Father? You know, and during those times when things are not happening the way that you think that they should, and it may be difficult for you to see what's going on, are you still going to stand on the word, or are you going to accuse the Father? You know, are you going to allow your mind to accuse him? Are you going to allow your heart to accuse him? But when something is not happening, what is your character? And that's a good question to ask yourself. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. The next question from the audience was, how do you overcome the hurt of what makes you feel like a victim? How do you overcome the hurt of what makes you feel like a victim? Well, I'm going to give you one scenario. Communally, an interesting dynamic about discipline of community is you come up out your room and out your house and face the team and face the community and face the saints day in and day out. You wake up self-absorbed, and you wake up with a moment of self. You're not afforded the right to just lay in bed all day and listen to your thoughts and play that victim role in how you feel. And that's a detriment to what has happened in captivity, scattering us to the four corners and giving us a house that we call our own and keeping you completely isolated and independent from the iron and the grind of come up out of self, you don't feel like it, I know, nobody else does either, and get to the tribal mentality and get to your responsibilities and get to your duties, and it gives you strong perseverance. If you do that day after day, month after month, year after year, then you no longer wake up after self. You no longer are burdened with what you feel like because you've, you know, repeated a pattern of serving the saints for so long, that's not even an option. So that's the afforded right of a community. That's a pro, Mother Jennifer.
And Sister Ashley, when you're in a community and you have, you know, when you've lived a life of servitude, like a community does, you're not going to be able to fake the way that you feel. You're not going to be able to fake the things that, you know, that you haven't dealt with. Because in a community, you have tasks. You have, say you're over the garden, you know, whatever you put your hand to, and if you have bitterness in your heart, you're not going to be very successful at all in the garden. You know, so you really have to make sure that your heart is right, your heart is where it needs to be so that you can be a good steward over what has been given to you. But there's no way to fake it. You'll stink up the atmosphere. People are not going to want to be around you at all. So you have to really deal with yourself before you come out of your room. And you're not going to be given all day to do it, literally. Sometimes you may even have to say, you know, there are some daughters that that I talk to and I give advice to or give wisdom to, and I literally say, okay, you got 20 minutes to go and get your heart right. Literally 20 minutes. And so 20 minutes later, they've gotten with the Father, they've gotten their hearts right, and then later on in the day, we end up laughing about it, you know, laughing about it because you see how foolish it is that you've allowed your mind to get to this place, you know, and you want to walk around and sulk, but you can't. We got work to do. We have things that need to be done. We don't have time. We don't have time for foolishness. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. David continually in the Psalms would give you a nugget of what he felt like, or give you a nugget of what the circumstance was actually doing in his flesh and in his life, but then he would come right back around and say, let me do this. For example, verse 28 in Psalms 119, he says, my spirit sags because of grief. So he comes right back around and says, very same verse, and says, now raise me up according to your promise. And that's the type of speech, like, okay, let's go over here. I'm just going to jump. I still got my Bible open in the exact same spot, right? Let's see. He says, I won't die. No, I will live and declare what the Most High has done. Why did he have to say that, really? Because he was feeling contrary, right? You got to say these things. He commanded his soul and commanded himself to praise the Most High, yeah? So it's a training. It really is. He says, I confessed my ways and you answered me. Now teach me. Help me understand. Right? So it's a good thing in a community dynamic. If you don't feel like coming out day after day after day after day, it's a good thing that you still are. That you're not giving any excuses to the flesh. Because it breaks. It does break. And it's a good thing maybe that you even hear us talk about it tonight so you know it's coming. So it says, in what way would you, let's see. Oh, how do you overcome the hurt of what makes you feel like a victim? Practice gratitude. Turn your focus to helping others. Right? Just become aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it, what you're saying and why you're saying it. Become aware of your relationships and the people around you. Fast if you need to fast, you know. If the bonds and yokes in your mind, or you got so much going on in your mind, you need to quieten your spirit by fasting. Another question from the audience is, in what way could you be sinning against Yah with this type of mentality? In what way could you be sinning against Yah with the type of mentality that was a victim? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I'm not even saying is sin, but in general, by selfish nature, as a child, you're not considering your father. And that's very selfish. Most of the time, probably 99.9% of the time, the bellboys, all three of them, don't consider mother at all, right? So if you can train your mind to consider your father, your heavenly father, you would also get out of the victim mentality. Consider what he said because he said it. Consider who he is because of his majesty. You know, consider what he said about your circumstance. Did he say he would heal you? Right? Did he say this promise and that promise? Then think on these things, you know? And then when you can't and you don't feel like it, you tell yourself, I will give thanks to you. You are my Yah. I will lift you up high. Right? You're saying it in a moment where you don't feel like it because you're retraining your flesh. Why did David say, I will declare out loud all the rules that you have spoken? Because even my own ears got to remember.
Right.
I'm saying these things. I'm cultivating this thing behind the scenes. I'm talking to you in such a way that when it comes time to produce and it's game time, right, I'm not going to play the victim. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts?
I just wanted to say, you know, also you can have an accusatory mindset. You know, you can accuse the father of what has led you to the point of being in the situation that you're in now. You can accuse him of your mindset. You know, you can accuse him of not receiving what the attention that you think that you're due. So you have to make sure that you watch your mind towards Yah. Watch the things that you think toward him. Really watch him. Make sure that you are not offended at all. And always forgive. If there's someone in your past that that you have not forgiven, then make sure that you forgive so that you can move on. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So, next question. What would be the result of not getting set free from this spirit? It would just be perpetually telling the stories of what has happened to you and why you experienced the pain you have and why this hurts and that hurts and what your mom did and dad did. So the result would just be you wouldn't get free, and the result would be the torment and the oppression of evil spirits, right? Because if you don't change your mind, then you become one with the enemy. Mother Jennifer?
Yes. very true. And you know, early on you talked about the pride that people take in talking about their circumstances, you know, talking about the things that has happened to them or even the condition of their body. I knew a woman who had had surgeries, and I remember every week when I saw her, all she would talk about was her surgeries and how her body felt because of the surgeries and the appointments that she had to go to next and the follow-up appointments and the medication that she was on, and it was just, you know, constantly finding the state that she was in just to receive recognition or just to receive pity, but never talking about the mercy and the grace of Yah and really seeking healing from this particular condition. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So how would you overcome the hurt of what makes you feel like a victim? I'm going back to that same question. Retell the story, but tell it differently. You know?
Well, we're not trying to remove anything that's ever occurred to you, because it's part of your life. It's part of your story. It's part of a powerful testimony. It's part of what Yah can do. Retell the story. I had a sister and I had shared an occurrence, something that had happened to us. I shared my story. She shared her story. And her, with humility, she goes, wow. I think she contacted me days later. She was like, I noticed that we tell our stories differently. So I'm going to retell mine. I'm going to tell it with more overcoming. I'm going to tell it with more impact of what Yah did instead of what happened to me. You know, because this is very legit. Like, I could keep y'all on the show for the next 2 hours with the stories of some legit pain and circumstances that are maybe known or unknown, you know, and the compassion that we're supposed to have, right, that we will have, hallelujah, they'll know us by our love, right? We're going to get there with our compassion, but until then, when compassion is not meet back to you, you can't have the pity party. You know, I told someone, I apologized that we as a people don't represent the Father's compassion to you. That's what I told them, because it's not everyone. But those who don't represent the Most High's compassion for your circumstance and what you're going through, those are the ones that have the loudest voice. You know, like, I know for certain all the things that have been done to Pastor Dow, the lack of compassion is 100-fold, right? More than the small crying voice of those who are going, I'll never leave you, Pastor. You know, I'll never forsake you, Pastor. I'm standing behind you, Pastor. Right? It's encouraging to hear that, because those small voices are the ones that keep you encouraged, they keep you going, keep you motivated. And you want to be that for somebody else, you know? And so here's the question. It says, how do you stop thinking on those who hurt you? And for me, that was easy. Painful, yes, but easy, Mother Jennifer, because I applied the Matthew Friday shift. If you're not going to forgive, you won't be forgiven. Let's say it again. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And that's some very fearful talk from a creator who holds you in the palm of his hand, your breath, your soul, and all your being. He can take in an instant, right? And so it's really fearful to go, I'm over here with this trivial issue of unforgiveness towards the person who hurt me, towards the person who raped me, or the sister who accused me, or lied and falsified a circumstance, whatever. It's a legit concern, right? Because it hurts and you feel it. But it is so much more blameless to the Father for you to respond his way. You respond with forgiveness. He responds with favor. Mother Jennifer?
And remember, unforgiveness is such a heavy prison. And if you've ever experienced what it feels like to walk around with unforgiveness in your heart and then to actually go through the steps and to allow Yah to help you walk through that unforgiveness and to forgive somebody, and when you feel that burden lift from your heart and you feel that burden lift from your mind, you'll never, ever want to be in that situation again, because you'll be able to see in a way that you've never seen before. And then you'll begin to understand that you were deceived. But it is such a heavy prison. It really is. And it's hard for me to even put it into words or explain it. But once you've experienced heaviness of unforgiveness and once you've been set free, it's a place that you'll never want to go back to ever again. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Very impactful words, Mother. Just a comment from the chat room earlier. It said this message is very powerful. Thinking on victimization. Months ago, I started writing my story not as a victim, but as a testimony of the ways Yah has and had and still is guiding and is with me and my family. That's good. That was even before we said what we said now. She had posted that. So we're in line with what she's thinking. I'm going down to the end. Do we have any more posts? Let's see. Y'all bear with me for a minute. Hallelujah. Judith, can you say shalom to everybody?
Shalom.
Hallelujah. All right. Judith is practicing listening with her mother, too. Hey, did you know, maybe y'all did, but in Luke, it talks about how Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor. You know what increase means, right? Same thing we're doing, you know, increasing. So if we go back to the question of the sister who said, you know, how do I deal with the fear of making mistakes? You know, you increase. Every, no matter where we're at, you're going to increase. So Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and he increased in the favor of the Messiah and man. So you think about our Messiah, without spot, blameless, right? He increased in the favor of our King. Let's see. A sister posted, we want compassion by using justification and self-pity. Exactly. Exactly. So here's a good trial run, right? Something happens to you, tell nobody. Overcome it. And then tell it as an overcoming story, right?
Hallelujah.
So it's just a test, just a little barometer for your spirit. That doesn't mean obey it every time, my sisters. I just throw it out there. Mother Jennifer, go ahead and let's wrap it up. I think our thoughts were well said, put together, all from one email. Hallelujah. Go ahead and wrap up your thoughts.
I just wanted to comment on, you know, what you said about when you're going through something, tell no one. And you know, I learned this lesson so early. I could tell when, you know, the times when the Father, there was something that only he could teach me. Only he could teach me because, you know, I had questions. I would go to Elder. I would go to, I would go to very many women in my life that I admired. And they would not have a specific answer for me. And they'd say, you know, well, I don't know, but we'll figure it out, you know. And it wasn't as if they just left me to my own. They would say, I don't know, but we will figure it out. But there was not one person that could give me an answer right then. And I always know when I get into a situation like that, I learned that, okay, Father, this is something that I'm going to learn from you. I'm at the point now where I understand that. And now that I've matured a little bit more, now I understand that, you know, everything I go through, I'm not going to share it all. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to get my answers from him, not in a self-righteous way at all or anything, but I've just learned way too much from him. He's given me way too much. He's allowed me to understand way too much for, you know, to even doubt him at all. And so the first one I'm going to, first and foremost, is him. And so I've learned to not put everything all over the internet or text everybody or email everybody, and I've just learned to seek him and seek him first. Sister Ashley?
Hey, and that's the truth. Mother Jennifer doesn't seek me for any this is going on, and I don't call her with this is going on. We haven't talked in years about help me, Mother, right, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, we haven't. We figure it out, Ashley. And, you know, there are times that I know if I need to, I know who to go to. I know
yes.
Exactly who to go to. I know I've got Mother Carol. I know I've got Granny Diane. I know I got Sister Ashley. I know I got my sister Wise. I know I have those here who can truly help me. I have my husband. But, you know, it's just Yah has me in such a place right now where he's
okay,
giving me the answers that I need.
Mother Jennifer, we got an international call. Let's try to pull it up. I'll see if it's Australia. Hallelujah. Let's go there. I'm pulling you out. That means step away from your computer, please. If you're around the computer, please listen to our voices through your phone. International, let's see if you're international. Bless you. Welcome to the show. You're live on Sister to Sister with Ashley and Mother Jennifer. Can you hear us?
Yes. Shalom, sisters. Shalom, mother.
Hallelujah. Your accent
Sister
gives
Allison.
You away. Yes. Allison, bless you. Please, you have the mic.
Thank you. Just wanted to call in and thank the Father for straightway and leading me this way.
Hallelujah.
I grew up going to church. I've been baptized in the church, and that, but when I got older and after I got married, I started asking questions like, why isn't the church teaching this? Why isn't the church getting the people ready? And me and my husband, we went searching church to church, and still there was nothing there. Like, my question was, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we should be able to just to turn it on and connect just like that, like light. And we've been church to church, and yeah, we couldn't find that. It's not there. The Father Spirit is not in the church, and the people in the churches, they might have the heart to share, but they don't have His Spirit. And like, we can tell by the fruit if they have the fruits of the Spirit. And we've been to churches that they speak, they say they have the gift of speaking in tongues, but they don't have the set apart Spirit. And yeah, I started to search more, and the Father showed me more about the tribes and going back to the Old Testament, how the law was given to His people, Israelites, and the people that came to be amongst the Israelites, they were part of that one law. And through one of the churches, I met a sister and her family, a daughter and that. And like, because they did homeschooling, I wanted to, like, it was put on my heart to homeschool our daughter when she was smaller, to come out from what happens in schools, like bullying and not learning the truth, like how they teach about the planets and all of that stuff. We didn't want our daughter to be brainwashed in that way. So we met a family that did homeschooling through a church. They kept the Sabbath, but they still don't know who the Father's true people is. And I kept in contact with a sister, and one time she sent me a video of Pastor Dow, and she wanted to know my thoughts on the video. So I watched it, and I was like, how? I texted her through Messenger, and I was like, how did you get this hat? Where did you get it from? And all of this stuff. And she's like, oh, another sister sent it to me. And then I asked, does this sister keep the laws and statutes and all that from the Old Testament? She's like, yes. And then I asked, is she white? Because this sister, she's white. And she said, yes. And she was like, oh, I don't understand why you asked if she was white. And then I was like, this sister, she's keeping the ways of the Old Testament. And then I let this other sister know, can you let the sister that sent you the video, can she friend me on, like, it's okay for her to friend me on Facebook? And then Sister Carrie, she sent me a message and saying who she was and her husband, Brother Abraham, and I was like, oh, that's, I understand now why she can keep the ways of the Old Testament, the Israelite way, because of the husband. And like me and Sister Carrie, we started talking straight away and messaging and calling. And Sister, she encouraged me all the way through and was there all the way for me. And the Father made the way for us to come up. So I drove like 6 days, me and children. My husband wasn't with me, but my mum was with me. And, but I knew, no, I have to go. I can't stay. There's nothing here. What I'm searching for is not here. I need to go. And the day we was going to leave, I had bad headache. I was sick. Wasn't feeling. I was like, no, I have to go because I don't. If I stay, I don't know what's going to happen. I have to go. And we, like, it took us 6 days. So each day we'll travel, like, 5 Ks or whatever. And then we'll sleep the night where we was. And the one part we went on a dirt road, there's like in the middle of nowhere, no cars come past, and we I got a flat tire, and we had to stop. It was like 38 degrees in the day after lunchtime or something, and me and my mum, we started to pray. We prayed. And then after, I was like calling out, Yeshua, help us. We need your help. Help us. Send help. And three, like, our water was going low and the children were there. And I was like, they have to sleep. Because if they play, they're going to look for water. If they eat, they're going to look for water. And 3 hours later, help came. And there was, like, a white man, white lady. And the lady, she was able to take the spare tire off at the back with the key, and I was like, Mum, we tried, but we couldn't get that spare tire off. And then the lady, she changed the tire and gave us water and that. And we, when we was traveling then, and I was saying, see how simple that was, like, even simple things like that, our people can't get it. Because if we could get it, we wouldn't call out to the Father and ask for his help. Yeah, just little things like that. The Father, he just makes the way. And trying to thank the Father for having his hand on me, even being back then and being in the world and, like, growing up in the church and thinking, oh, this is the way, but it's not. And he kept his hand on me. And for me to come here and be a brother and sister here and find this way, the truth, the straight way through Pastor Dow. And I just want to thank the Father for Pastor Dow and all that he's done and his family too.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You got a lot of hallelujahs and beautiful testimonies and hallelujahs in the chat room. Can everybody say, bless you, Sister Allison from Australia.
Bless you, Sister Allison from Australia.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you. Like, through straightway, like, I had trouble through the marriage and I needed something to be fixed, but I couldn't find it. And we went and we tried to get the counselling, but it was still there. And, like, coming to straightway and finding out to submit and get rid of my feelings and, yeah, not trying to be the boss or do things my way. And your Father, yeah, he really opened my eyes to that. The main thing in the marriage and disciplining our children. So I thought, like, because our children didn't grow up around family much, and I thought, oh, my children is okay because they didn't. They are different from my nieces and my nephews, but coming up here and seeing sister and brother and their children and how they are, I was like, nah. This is the way to teach the children the right way, for them to listen, to obey and do as they're told. And another big thing is deliverance, like coming into the truth and learning about deliverance, getting rid of all the spirits from the past, to be set free and walk in freedom.
Hallelujah. Bless you for every word. Bless you for your call. Thank you for your testimony. Mother Jennifer, give her a few words, please.
Bless you. Such a testament to the faithfulness of Yah. So continue to listen, continue to keep striving, and continue to stay encouraged. It's really good hearing from you. Bless you.
Bless you. Thank you. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Stay tuned in. All right, let's wrap it up. Hey, David said it's far better to take refuge in the Most High than trust any human. And it's far better to take refuge in the Most High than to trust any human leader. And then he turns around and he says in Psalms 118, all the nations surround me, but I cut them down in the Most High's name. Yes, they surround me on every single side, but I cut them down in the Most High's name. They surround me like bees, but they were extinguished like burning thorns, and I cut them down in the Most High's name. I was pushed so hard that I nearly died, he said, but the Most High helped me. Think about his victim story, right? He's testifying of it here. He says, the Most High was my strength and my protection. He was my saving help. The sound of joyful songs and deliverance was heard in the tents with the righteous. I won't die. No, I will live. Hallelujah. And a few verses out of Sirach, Mother Jennifer, before you end the show. It says, whosoever fears Yah will receive his discipline, and they that seek him early shall find his favor. And he that serves the Most High shall be accepted with favor, and his prayer shall reach the clouds. And so shall you be truly shamefaced and find favor before all men. Hallelujah. Be shamefaced, my beloved sisters, those who are righteous, seeking the Most High's ways and seeking to submit. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, Mother Jennifer. End the show.
Hallelujah. I just want to share something from Lamentations that has blessed me over and over and over again, and I believe it'll bless you too, to just come out of the victim mentality. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Yet this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of Yahweh's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Yahweh is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Shalom.